A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to the good, community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Bit of a different show today. Not different, but I wanted to tackle and really dive into housing and mental health and like the cost of living. Now listed, all three of those together, listed as Wisconsin's top health challenges. And you can kind of feel it on the ground, right? All across the communities and definitely across the country. So today we're going to sit down with Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity CEO Brian Soderman. We're going to unpack some of the current state of housing and homelessness in our area. We'll look into, you know, why the crisis becomes a little bit more visible, especially this time of the year, and where Milwaukee is getting things right, because I never want to lose track of all the great programs and all the wonderful work that the city of Milwaukee and all the partners have done on homelessness issues throughout the years. We're going to talk about the families experiencing homelessness for the first time, the seniors who may be maybe just, you know, one emergency away from losing housing, and how approaches like Housing First are changing outcomes. Brian's going to share his work at Habitat for Humanity, talk about the new builds, a bunch of the home repair programs, and a really cool recent partnership from last month with Milwaukee Brewers, how that really moves beyond just a photo opportunity into a concentrated investment that is transforming blocks in our community. We're talking about building hope, not just housing and homelessness. That's something we can all build on. But you know what? At the beginning of each and every show, we like to go two up.
Now it's time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two up on the upswing.
Two up, two things in the business world and community world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. High costs for higher ed. Higher education, I always say, needs to be more accessible, needs to be more attainable, but it also has to be market-driven, right? UW campuses are raising tuition by about 2% for the 2026-27 school year, and that works out to, you know, really only a couple hundred dollars per year in-state undergraduate tuition, depending on which campus you're at. UW leaders say that this increase is going to keep up with inflation. It's going to help maintain the faculty, the programs, the student services year after year, as the past years have really only seen modest hikes. Now, you got to zoom out a little bit on this story and see that it's a big reminder that the balancing act in public education right now is about accessibility, but also making sure that our universities can stay competitive and really well-resourced. So for families and students planning ahead, this isn't going to be a massive spike next year at the UW system, but it's another incremental cost to factor into the entire equation. Now, speaking of colleges, here's story number two. A fascinating intersection here. Travel, real estate, and college culture. I saw this week that Hilton is announcing a new hotel brand called Undergraduate. It's built specifically in college towns, and the idea is to create that vibe, you know, that feeling that you get on college campuses, but move it into a social hub to capture the energy of the campus community, not just for a place to stay, but for a place to hang out. Hilton has this other hotel model called Graduate Hotels, but this version is going to be more scalable and more mid-market. And they clearly are aiming these at college towns. Hilton says they want 700 of these lifestyle hotels to open by 2028. And the first undergraduate hotel will open in 2027. So you zoom out here, this is really all about recognizing the power that college towns have as economic and entertainment and cultural centers. You built in that demand from a market standpoint. You have the parents, you You got the teachers, you have the alums, you have the fans, and of course, prospective students. This is going to be a really cool concept, and I'm guessing, even though they haven't announced all the locations yet, that places like Madison and eventually Milwaukee are going to start seeing more of these type of developments. So watch for the undergraduate from Hilton probably popping up in Wisconsin in the next year or so. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. A new Wisconsin Department of Health Services report is listing housing, mental health, and the cost of living as top health challenges, putting housing on the same level as chronic disease or mental health in the public health conversations. There's always a lot to talk about when it comes to housing and public health, and I always say there's always hope, too. So I wanted to talk to the good people at Habitat for Humanity here in Milwaukee, and I'm thankful that CEO Brian Soderman joins us in studio. Brian, thanks for taking time out of your day to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff.
I appreciate it. So when you hear that the state of Wisconsin says housing is a top health challenge, kind of what lands for you today more so than maybe 10 years ago? I mean, you've been at Habitat now for
15 years.
Okay.
Well, I tell you, when I first started, no one was talking about the connection between housing and health. And now we have medical doctors, we have practitioners in the health field that are continually saying housing is a prescription for good health. And so when I hear that, I resonate because yeah. One of the things that we see, especially in the city of Milwaukee, are we work with first-time home buyers.
Okay.
So the folks that come to us that want to become home buyers, they've been renters most of their life, and they often experience substandard rental conditions. We see a lot of asthmatic conditions. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of families in our lead abatement program who have children with elevated lead in their blood, mm-hmm. and we know the tremendous negative outcomes that come from those types of things. So housing and health are directly related.
Yeah. So before we get into some of the programs and details of what your good organization does each and every day, can you share, I always like getting a heartfelt story of a Milwaukee family or individual where, you know, you were really able to clearly help the health and the work and make an impact in their lives?
Yeah, well, we see it so often with our seniors, especially who in our repair program, we continually see seniors whose health is compromised by the housing situation that they're in. Their current living situation, there's mold, there may be lead, there may be other issues that are causing breathing issues and really exasperating their health situations, and to the point where they're thinking of having to leave, maybe go into assisted living that would need to be government funded.
Yeah.
And so for a small intervention in which we can come in and address those housing health-related issues, we can not only improve their health outcomes, but then we can also allow them to stay in their home that they love.
Yeah.
And they
want. Well, I think we all probably have those lingering projects that you mm-hmm. keep putting off and putting off mm-hmm. and putting off, and suddenly it's 10 years down the road, and if you're 78 years old and limited resources, mm-hmm. and it just becomes overbearing. So
yep.
People need a place to turn to.
Absolutely. And then we just see families who are in real risk of losing their rental situation, ending up with an eviction or in a situation where they have to move suddenly. Mm-hmm. I think of Deanna, a young mom, a school teacher, mm-hmm. who had two young daughters. A relationship ended, and she found herself in a place that she did not expect, which is what we often see at Habitat. They did not have eviction on their bingo card. They did not plan for that. And oftentimes, it's the life circumstances that they had no control over. So Deanna ends up in a situation where she's faced with eviction. And she made a commitment. Now, this goes back 10 years ago, that this future, that she, their children would have a better future, that her children would never have to have an eviction. And so she set out systematically to address that and worked very hard to get ready to become a homeowner. Took a long time. She tried to do it on her own. She got very frustrated, couldn't find anything in her price range. That's when she found her way to Habitat.
Yeah, great, great. We're talking with Brian Soderman, the CEO at Habitat for Humanity here in Milwaukee. When we come back, let's focus on, Brian, the homelessness approach as it relates to Habitat in your collaboration with local government. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by the CEO of Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity, Brian Soderman. Let's shift gears a little bit to homelessness. And, you know, especially as the weather's getting warmer, you're seeing in all areas across the state, really, you know, maybe more tents, maybe more panhandling. It just becomes more visible for all of us. What do you see from an organization standpoint in terms of like perception versus data on homelessness?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's a huge shout out to Milwaukee County. It's an underreported, under the radar story of how Milwaukee County has made a massive effort to address chronic, especially family homelessness. And they are making a substantial difference to such a degree that we have people from around the country coming to Milwaukee wanting to talk to the county and other folks on the front lines to figure out how can we do the same thing in our communities. And so huge shout out goes to County Executive David Crowley, to Jim Mathey and the Housing Division at Milwaukee County for the incredible work they do with their Housing First initiative.
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee, Greater Milwaukee's really become a model across the country for homelessness solutions, and even downtown Milwaukee in terms of, you know, the abatements programs and just the caring, compassionate, people-first-centric programs that help people get to where they need to be.
Absolutely. I mean, there's always going to be a role for immediate help for people who are in really dangerous situations, especially in our climate, for areas where in the winter people can stay safely. But what I appreciate about the county's approach to things is it's more long-term in nature. It's thinking about how do we end chronic homelessness? And you need to think about that in a holistic manner. Yeah. That can't just be a handout. And a lot of times it costs more money, and it takes more collaboration and more intentionality. But ultimately, that's the positive outcomes that we're seeing in our community.
We're talking with Brian Soderman from Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity. Brian, what's one of the bigger misconceptions about who is homeless and kind of how they got there?
Yeah, well, I think most often it's, you know, that people have made really bad choices in their lives. Maybe they have made the decision to, you know, abuse drugs or alcohol, you know, and therefore it's really something that it's of their own doing. But the reality is that what we see in learning people's housing stories. And that's really what we do oftentimes is we just are listening to how, why do you want to be a homeowner? And then we go back and it's usually 5, 10, 15 years, maybe even back to when they were a child. And they talk through their housing instability story. And sometimes it does touch on the issue of homelessness. And oftentimes it's because people and families increasingly are one or two paychecks away from eviction. And then it starts the cycle. And once an eviction happens and there isn't a family, maybe usually family steps in initially, offering an extra bedroom, a basement couch. But after a while, that becomes unsustainable because oftentimes those family members are already in an overcrowded situation. And it starts a domino effect. And that's what we hear. And then it takes years and years and years and a lot of hard work and a lot of help to get a person from homelessness, eviction, to home ownership.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to talk about that path to affordable home ownership in the area. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. I'm joined in studio by the CEO of Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity, Brian Soderman. Brian, again, I really appreciate your time. What was your path to Habitat? Where'd you grow up? And just kind of give us the Brian story.
Sure. So I grew up in Brookfield. Okay. Grew up in a home that my parents built in 1960. And I think it cost about $12,000.
Okay.
My parents never had a mortgage. And I thought that was everybody's story.
Hmm.
So I grew up going to the same school system, K through 12, that prepared me to go to UW-Madison. I got my degree in accounting, worked in public accounting and banking.
Okay.
Shifted gears into pastoral ministry. I was a pastor for 12 years. I went back and got my Master's of Divinity.
Well, how did that shift? I'm sure it's a long story, but how does that shift happen? Was it just time? You went into the office and said, I need greater good in my life?
Yeah, no, there wasn't a shining light, anything like that. It was a process of really truly feeling a calling in my life to do that.
And
I helped start church. Churches and then someone shared the job description of Habitat, and I always wondered how could I take my business and ministry backgrounds and somehow put those together in a meaningful way. And for me, that's what Habitat has meant. And so I remember one of the first days as I got into the job. It was actually a Brewers build. Milwaukee Brewers sponsored home, and this homeowner. I met for the first time, and it was going to be her home, and she was helping to build it alongside Brewer players. And she handed me a business card, and it was a little tattered, and I looked on the back of the business card, and I could see all these addresses.
Yeah.
And she said, "You know what? You want to know what that is? Those are all the different places I've lived in my life, and they were all in the city of Milwaukee." And she pointed out all the different points in time that her family was evicted. And she looked me in the eye, this young 20-something young mom, and said, "That's not going to be my future, and it's not going to be the future for my kids." Hmm. And when I heard that, I knew I was in the right spot.
Yeah. I mean, hey, the paths are paved in front of us for a reason, right? Sometimes you don't always know what that reason is or what's going to happen when you walk down that road, but it truly seems like you're doing what you're meant to do. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about affordability when it comes to home ownership. And, you know, from your organizational lens and kind of the overall continuum, if you will, how do people look at, all right, housing is getting more expensive, I need the down payment, I need to get into a home. How do you reason the cost of homes today?
Well, that is a big question. Increasingly when I talk to people, and again, 5-10 years ago in Milwaukee, I would have to tell people and explain and try to inspire people to think about how important housing was. Today, increasingly, employers are talking about it. Politicians are talking about it from both political parties.
Yeah.
Everyday people are talking about it. I get people in their 50s and 60s saying, yeah, housing is a problem because my children can't afford housing, and grandparents are saying it.
Yeah.
And now it's a front page issue. And it's really, we see this nationally. The average age of first time home buyers is now 40. That's at a historically high rate for our country. And so when I talk to my young adult children, there's a skepticism amongst them about them and their friends about when and if they will ever become homeowners.
Yeah.
And that is really, really distressing, because what that's connected to, in my estimation, is a lack of hope for the future, maybe planning to have a family, have children, do things that previous generations did without even thinking about it.
Well, and when you're in meetings and discussions, I mean, maybe from a state standpoint, and I always like to ask this question, if you're talking to the candidates for governor, what is a part of that solution from a state standpoint?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of perspective out there that we need to invest a lot into affordable rental, because people need a place to stay. And so generally, that has been, I would classify as more the Democratic response, has been a really strong emphasis on affordable rental. I think the Republican response has typically been the market will correct itself. And I think actually the solution is in between there, yeah. as it oftentimes is.
Yes.
Market factors do play a part. There is a place for affordable rental. I think the state can do a whole lot more to provide the abilities for and really the incentives for municipalities to create better housing strategies, both in areas like the city of Milwaukee, but also in suburban and rural areas around the state, because there's not an area of the state right now that is not that is immune from the housing crisis. So when you talk to rural communities, suburban communities, and urban communities like Milwaukee, you're hearing a very consistent theme that it is really hard to build homes at scale at a price point that the average Wisconsinite can afford. Yeah. Right now, the average cost of a home for sale in Wisconsin is higher than the average Wisconsinite can afford.
Yeah.
So it's not just people at the lower end of the economic scale that are being impacted. And that's really where our work needs to begin. We need to work with municipalities to create better policies to incentivize and encourage probably denser home building, you know, smaller lot sizes, smaller, you know, minimum sized homes in communities, because unless you do that, you really are forcing builders in this market in order to make a profit to build 2,500, 3,000, 3,500 square foot homes.
Yeah.
Well, those are not starter homes.
Right. Right.
And so we have to really change the thinking.
That's not going to solve the master
problem.
No,
it's not.
Either,
it's not. We are so far behind in terms of the need for home ownership units in the state of Wisconsin. So that type of strategy, what we're doing is we're just pushing for-profit builders to build bigger homes, more expensive homes. And so Habitat is really one of the only, if the only builder in southeastern Wisconsin. We're one of the largest builders in southeastern Wisconsin, nonprofit or for-profit, but we're the only one building homes consistently under $400,000. And that's what is needed in this marketplace.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And I love your point on the nuance from the political spectrum. It's always a collaborative approach. You need the nonprofit partner, you need the for-profit developer, and you need government at the table to devise solutions that work. When we come back, Brian, you had a big event with the Brewers last month that I want to talk about. We'll talk about your Brewers partnership, kind of what you're doing on a block-by-block approach. And then I want to make sure that people know how they can really get involved and what volunteer opportunities you have at Habitat for Humanity. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by the CEO of Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity, Brian Soderman. Brian, last month you had Milwaukee Brewers players and Milwaukee Habitat and good partners of yours kicking off the summer construction season, raising the first wall for a home. That's part of, what, roughly 40 homes set for construction in 2026?
Yes.
Tell us about the Brewers event, and I don't know, maybe were there any moments from that event that just really stuck out for you?
The relationship with Brewers Community Foundation and the Milwaukee Brewers is one of our longest standing, probably about 20 years. We've been connected and partnering together, and I'm really, really grateful for that partnership, because there's just something unique about sports players and organizations that get involved in our work and the work of any nonprofit, because they shine a light on the good work that's happening in a way that, maybe one of our large bank partners, it might not draw as much attention.
Yeah.
So the Brewers Community Foundation, long-term partner, really committed to the basic needs in this community. Huge shout out to Cecilia Gore, who heads that up. Yeah. Incredible leader, really impactful work that she heads up. So we had Brandon Woodruff, D.L. Moody, D.L. Hall, and Andrew Vaughn out to our warehouse. And so we were framing walls, and Brandon's been with us now several years, and he's had a few injuries along the way. And I was just so grateful that, you know, in the midst of his recovery, he came out with his family. And I think that's really one of the touching things. Is even mentioned it in his words, in his words to the group that was assembled, is that his daughter was just really young, maybe one or two at most, when she came to her first Habitat Brewers event. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, 6 years later, you know, she's so cute. And then they have a young son. And he was more enthralled as his dad was speaking with the racing sausages. He was focused on those sausages. And it's just cool to see this family and their connection to housing. Because as Brandon said, you know, he and his wife, they grew up not in great affluence in the rural South, and so they have a deep appreciation for I think the work that Habitat does and how important housing is as a young family. So
yeah.
That was really cool. And a shout out to DL. He grew up. He grew up in a family where his dad owned the plumbing business.
Oh,
so he
okay.
is a handy guy.
All right.
He flashes a little bit of a skill. Andrew is I classified as a Habitat rookie.
Okay.
First time
right.
out.
That's right.
So, you
gotta learn. Everyone's gotta learn.
Everyone's gotta learn. And we love to work with people who have never come out. So Andrew fit the bill. But it was great. You know, they were so good with our staff and supporters, just spending time. They hung around after the event, and that was really cool and really impactful, and it's a great way to really highlight the work that Habitat does.
Yeah. From a listener and a fan standpoint, what opportunities do you have for volunteering? I mean, I'm sure you have individual volunteering at build sites, you have restore, you have group and corporate builds, but can you just kind of walk us through what that looks like?
Sure. Yeah. So we need thousands of volunteers to do the work that we do. The way that we can make part of making our homes affordable for first-time homebuyers is that volunteer labor. It's a critical part. It does help us on the cost-saving side, but it's hugely transformative to our volunteers. When you come out on a build site, you go into a restore, you get connected to our mission in a very tangible way, and you know you're making a difference in a family's life. And so if you're an individual out there, you might have skills. Maybe you have done carpentry, you've come out of a trade, or you're just a handy person. We would love to have you come out. We have groups of individuals who come out on a regular basis. We call them habituals.
Okay.
Because they are unpaid, but they are highly skilled, and we love to have them come out. They really help supplement our staff and lead groups of volunteers. But we also love to have the Andrew Vaughns of the world, if I could say that.
Yeah.
The first-time volunteer, someone who maybe they've never picked up a hammer or they've never done drywall, and they feel a little bit intimidated by that, but our staff is incredible in terms of teaching people the skill for the day. So if you've never hung drywall, our leaders, our staff, and our habituals will teach you. They'll be patient. They'll show you how to use tools correctly. And one of the cool parts of it is that I get this regularly. Volunteers will tell me, I started volunteering with Habitat. I do it when I can, maybe on a Saturday or with my church or with my corporation. And I've learned how to do so much. I'm now doing it at home. I'm doing home remodeling projects.
Oh,
so you can go to MilwaukeeHabitat.org and you can find out about volunteer opportunities on the build site and at our restore, because some people, getting out on a build site isn't their thing, but they want to support the mission of Habitat. So we have two restores, one in Franklin and one in Wauwatosa, and we have lots of volunteers, individuals, and groups
both
that can come out.
They accept donations?
They also accept donations.
Are you seeing upturn, downturn in terms of donations and shopping volume?
Well, right now, it's a super busy time. It's definitely seasonal. Spring and summer, early summer, we see a tremendous amount of donation activity, and we love that. And so if you can come and drop off a donation, we also have a pickup service to go out and pick up an item. And if you're a shopper, we always get a ton of people, especially heading into fall, as people are getting, maybe kids are going back to school, college, there's always opportunities to pick up items for dorms and houses and things of that nature. There's also some incredible deals if you're just doing some renovation work at your own house to find some great items. So it's another way of supporting Habitat through your donations and through your purchases at a restore.
Very good. Finally, Brian, if you could erase one narrative about homelessness and replace it with a new one here in Greater Milwaukee, what do you swap out there?
Yeah, I think one misconception is that it's just single men. you know, that are out there. But there are a lot of families right now that are experiencing homelessness and in and out of homelessness, in and out of eviction. And there are a lot of kids involved. And so I think sometimes it's really putting a child's face on the story of homelessness that hopefully moves people to take action in maybe a different way. And so the reality is that families that doesn't have to be the story for that child's life. I think back to that first story I gave when I started at Habitat, a young woman whose life was in and out of eviction, and she could have been a statistic. But through the work of Habitat and through the work of she got connected with a local church right in the area where we were building that house. So there were a lot of people that came together to provide some support, encouragement to her, and really give her a hand up, not a hand out.
Yeah.
And that hand up ultimately was one that she grabbed a hold of, and she took control of her future. So it doesn't have to be the end.
Right.
I would say this community is incredibly generous. We have an incredibly generous community, and we can, if we work together, continue to address chronic homelessness, family homelessness, and we can begin to take bold steps to address this affordable homeownership crisis we're in. I'm convinced of that, and that's really what I'm committing my life to.
That's what it's all about, really having that responsive system where families can access shelter quickly when they need it, brings in the holistic approach. So, mm-hmm. Brian, I appreciate your time and all
Thanks,
that
Jeff.
You do, and we'll do this again soon.
Sounds good.
Well, welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. I want to say a big congrats to JK Art House, which is a new gallery that opened its doors just last night for its first exhibition in its new home in Milwaukee's historic Third Ward neighborhood, right at 191 North Broadway. You should really check this space out. It's the former Marne Cafe. Marne was the Milwaukee Artist Resource Network. Still happening as an organization, but they closed their cafe space. And the owners of this gallery, two big Milwaukee business names, Julia Taylor, who is the J in the JK Art House, and Karen Ellenbecker, who is the K in JK Art House. Julia Taylor, the former CEO of the Greater Milwaukee Committee, and Karen Ellenbecker, founder of Ellenbecker Investment Group, just wonderful leaders, truly passionate, doing really good things. They have a contemporary artist in from California, a father and two sons who are displaying their work. It's called The Studio of Family Dialogue in Paint. So stop by the historic Third Ward, check out the brand new JK Art House. Speaking of the Third Ward, if I may, just a little plug here. If you don't have plans this coming Thursday, the morning of June 11th, you can join me as I'm going to sit down with Mayor Cavalier Johnson at the Milwaukee Public Market, a new series called Milwaukee Mornings. I'm sure we're going to talk housing for sure, but we get a lot of fun topics on the plate. Last month, I had the opportunity to sit down with Chef Dan Jacobs from Dan Dan. So this Milwaukee Mornings event, you can get all the information at MilwaukeePublicMarket.org. We'll sit down with the mayor of Milwaukee. Finally, as I like to do as we close every episode of The Upswing, Jaslyn, have you been to a reunion of yours lately, maybe a high school reunion?
Well, I sure'd have liked to be invited.
Well, how come you're not invited? You didn't get the email or
I never get the email. I don't know who they're sending it to. Maybe it's an old email. Maybe they don't have any updated information.
Or maybe they just did like a Facebook group and you didn't get the mention.
I guess not.
I don't know. Okay. Well, here's my thing. I'm guessing you're going to have a chance to do some type of reunion this summer. High school, maybe college, maybe a family reunion, even grade school, right? A lot of grade schools are doing reunions, which I think is really cool because you don't really remember your grade school friends as much as you should. But going back to the elementary schools is so important. You know, actually, on that same note, always stands out to me. You see it in the state of Wisconsin a lot. High school graduates putting on their caps and gowns in the same district and then walking the halls the week before graduation in the schools that they grew up in kind of gives that younger generation, if you will, the aspiration. Wow, look at the high school seniors. They're graduating, and the high school graduates kind of walking through the elementary schools that they went to. It's really fun to see. Anyways, back on the point of reunions, if you have one this summer, I know they can bring up some big emotions, and they're never, like, convenient because you got, like, 45 other things happening on the weekends. But I'm here to tell you, go to your reunion. Even if it's not, like, a special year, like the 10th or the 20th or the 30th, whatever, I guarantee you, if you go to the reunion, you're going to rekindle a friendship. You're going to see somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, and you're going to learn something new. This is what community building is all about. And we talk about it on the show all the time. Institutions don't just have this responsibility to create platforms and events for us to show up on. We have to show up ourselves. And we all grow together when we show up and make that decision to show up and to stay connected and to invest in the small things that really matter. Reunions are one of those things. Again, I know, especially when it comes to the high school reunion, you can kind of roll your eyes sometimes. You're like, all right, I'm not going to the high school reunion. No one's going. I don't know anyone. I'm not confident enough to show up, or whatever. Whatever your excuse is, throw it out. Go to your reunion. All right. No excuses. I had one last weekend at Marquette. I kind of at one point of the day, I was like, all right, I'm too close. I live like 15 miles from where I went to college. Why do I have to go to my reunion? I went, saw so many people that I didn't expect to see, had an amazing time, rekindled friendships, made new connections. Totally worth my time. Totally worth the time and investment of the university to put these events on. So if you have a reunion this summer, go.